All right. Welcome to work. Pretty nice mountain. It's not very cold. It's, well, maybe the... It's the second week of January, 2019. Oh my gosh. You know, everybody used to say 2020 and they'd say all the amazing things that are going to happen in 2020, and that's only a year away. Predictions are always funny that way. Because I don't, look at me, tough work. If you can get paid for making predictions, great. Have fun, because, yeah. Doesn't do so good. Anyway. Still reading my Book of Mormon. Just a verse or two or three in it, and I'm in an interesting part of the Book of Mormon. Nephi, the son of Helaman. Nephi and Lehi, they were brothers. It's that Nephi. There's several people in the Book of Mormon named Nephi. So I'm trying to give you some context. This is in Helaman. I don't know how far in. Chapter 14, 15, 16-ish territory. Anyway. And he... Nephi's been doing a good turn a lot of people have turned on Nephi. He'll go up and he'll say what's going on, and people don't like it. They're angry at him. Had the whole incident. He was up praying on his garden. He has a garden tower that he goes up to for privacy. And he was praying up there. I guess it wasn't very good privacy. People saw him. And they started giving him garbage. He told him that the chief priest was dead by the hand of his brother, who laid out the whole scenario for him and the whole thing. They ended up accusing him of being a co-conspirator in the murder. Finally, he was acquitted through the testimonies of actually the brother who did the killing. Said, nope, Nephi has nothing to do with it. I don't know if it was a result of that or if it was just the right timing. God said, you know what, Nephi? You will always do what I ask. And you'll always do what I need doing. And so he said, I want you to go out and preach repentance to these people. Tell them whatever comes into your heart. And if you tell them there's a punishment, you get to pick the punishment, and I'll make it happen. And so Nephi immediately, he didn't even go back to his house to go take a nap or something. He immediately went out and started doing exactly what the Lord told him to do. And you're kind of paraphrasing, so if I get some of the facts out of order, you know, I apologize for that. Anyway. There was a big war going on between the Nephites and the Lamanites. Now when you talk about the Lamanites, it's mostly the Lamanites as foot soldiers, Nephite dissenters, king's men sometimes, who are on the other side. So it's really warring factions amongst the Nephites, but the Lamanites seem like the ultimate pawns in all this. They're always getting sucked into fighting these wars. And a lot of them die, and they're still always willing to go back to war. Apparently they're easily stirred up. Anyway, the people weren't repenting because of the war. Oftentimes, having to be in a war tends to humble people, but sometimes it doesn't. So Nephi was seeing this and said, okay, Father, or okay, Lord, talking to Jesus, I want us to bring a famine on the land. And of course it happens. It's like Nephi said. Here comes the famine. He says, that will cause the people to humble themselves and turn back to thee. Which ultimately happens. They were repenting. It was time for Nephi to go to the Lord and say, I think the people have repented. They seem to have repented. I find it very interesting in this whole reading that I'm doing about how circumstantial the evidence of this repentance was. Nephi was a pretty soft heart, soft touch, and that's not a problem. Just he wasn't requiring a ton of evidence that they really had repented. They were behaving in a recalcitrant frame. How about that? That's how I would have put it, but that's okay. He went and he pled their case. The people had actually told him, the chief judge at the time, had said, you know, we know that you're the prophet. And that seemed to be the biggest thing. The people had really cast in Nephi and said he wasn't a prophet. And when they turned around and came to him, hat in hand, their leadership, saying, can you go please talk to the Lord and tell him to get rid of this famine? Nephi took it. You know, they came to me, so they are accepting my place as the prophet to go and talk to the Lord. You know where that's going. And that's something of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, so that's fine. And they went on. But here's how there was some statements used by Nephi during this time that were, that really impressed on me. Lisa really gets on to me when I get angry. And she really, and so this, as far as I'm aware of, this is probably the most, contentious part of our relationship, is that Lisa, and I mean just for the smallest things, the smallest outbursts, Lisa is highly offended. You know, and I'm a bad person because I can't totally control my anger. Anyway, so Nephi goes before the Lord, right? You have to understand that I read a few verses at a time, so I don't get the full scope immediately. It takes time. Maybe it takes a couple of weeks. Nephi talks to the Lord, and he talks about the Lord's fierce anger several times. I know that thou hast a fierce anger. Thou art angry and gets angry. And I was saying, wow. I said, is Nephi really? He says, he's got kind of a frightened attitude about the Lord. That he's got a fierce anger. And I remember as a kid reading about the fear of the Lord, and people have been trying to change that to, oh no, it's supposed to be, you know, you shouldn't look at it that way. You shouldn't be afraid of the Lord. You go, you know what? After I read that, I said, no, you should. You should be afraid of the Lord. If you turn on him, if you're not behaving the way you should, the way he's told you to do, apparently he's angry. Anyway, so he went through all this stuff, Nephi did. Well, he's angry, angry, angry. Please turn your fierce anger away from this people. And the Lord did. And I'm just getting to the point now where, see, here's the sad part. Within just a few years, the Nephites are right back to their ways. Now, the current problem is the Gadianite robbers. The Lamanites actually were straightening up to a certain extent, and they decided to go after the Gadianite robbers by preaching to the worst elements in them. And, you know, it's a form of cutting the head off the snake. If their leader gets contrite, it kind of pops the whole balloon, right? That's how the Lamanites did it. Well, the Nephites took a different tack. They decided to go to war with them. And going to the war with them only seemed to strengthen the Gadianite robbers. So we're in this wonderful situation. Evil's everywhere. The Nephites aren't doing well. Of course, the Gadianite robbers are evil and empowered and causing all kinds of problems. The Lamanite comes, Samuel the Lamanite, a Lamanite prophet, told by the Lord to go and visit Zarahemla, the Nephite capital. Does that not sound like what they were just doing when it came to the Gadianites? Go after the, go and preach to the leadership of the bad guys. So, that's what they did. That's what Samuel, I think, was just another aspect of that whole thing. Except now it seemed like they were going to the Nephites themselves rather than the Gadianite robbers. Although, sometimes it's hard to decide who's who. Gadianite robbers are the ones that like to infiltrate your government and get positions of power. So, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. Anyway, so the Lord says, go to those guys, now put in your heart things you should say. And so the Lord is speaking to Samuel's heart, and he's out saying it. And what he says is he basically predicts the end of the Nephites, which very readily happens. Pretty much right on time. A couple of decades here and there. But 400 years in the future. But they were going to be destroyed if they didn't repent. And God himself said, in my fierce anger. And he makes a real dichotomy. When you're doing what the Lord says, He loves you. He blesses you. He takes care of all your needs. He does everything that's required. He does a wonderful job. You know, he's what every nice little girl thinks Christ is like all the time. Meek and mild and, oh, he's so wonderful. And, you know, every little girl in pigtail fantasy God. But by the same token, if you don't listen to him, if you turn against him, if you're not obedient, apparently, he's not just miffed. He doesn't treat you with indifference. He treats you with anger. I know that flies in the face of, good morning. I know that flies in the face of, of the pigtail girl God is love concept. You have to understand that basic thing came from John, who was the beloved. When you're being a really good person, God is a loving God. He takes wonderful care of you. So his take on it is all about the loving God, how wonderful he is, because he is wonderful when you're doing what he says. If you're not doing what he says, well, all bets are off. So, this is the interesting dichotomy. Women who pretty much have dominated society now have totally rejected the angry God and trumped up the God is love one to the point where we have things now. People are turning from God left and right. They're swearing up and down that God accepts them for what they're doing. Not just accepts them, he loves them no matter what they do. It's called unconditional love. It's absolutely wrong. God especially has conditional love. Probably more than your father does. He's in a position where he's got enough distance from you that he can put the squeeze on you. He doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to worry about relationships. He's already set the relationship. I give you everything. If you're ungrateful, I hate you. Yeah, I'm good. And I'm going to work you over until you turn back to me. And that's really the only criteria. But do you still love me? And you go, you know what? I'll make it easy for you. No, I don't love you while you're doing all this. Oh, no, you can't say that. Excuse me? Who do you think God is? I'm God. This is the way I am. You follow me? I'll take care of you and love you. You turn against me? I hate you and I will destroy you. That simple. And people can't grok that in this kind of society. Anyway, so, here I am. We're having fun. Take a look and see what's going on. Have a great day.